Okay, and we are recording. This is the introduction to Jyotish. So I hope you'll find this very interesting. I really enjoy teaching this part. This is also a new presentation that has just been put together specifically for this session. So let's get started. We always begin by asking for some blessings. We ask invocation, and Jyotishis always look for the blessings of Ganeshji. So we'll ask for Ganesha's blessings. Gajananam bhuta ganadhi sevitam kapitta jambu phalacharu bhakshanam umasutam shokavinashakaramam. Mami Vigneshwara Pada Pankajam. I bow down and give pranams to the deity with the face of an elephant who is served by the Ganas, who eats kapitta and jamun fruits, who is the son of Uma, who removes grief and all kinds of impediments. Please remove my impediments in the study of Jyotish. So, what are the learning objectives? What are the things that we want to cover here? We'll define Jyotish. We will talk about the history of Jyotish. We will talk about some of the Jyotish texts. What are some of the important Sanskrit books that describe Jyotish? We'll talk about the importance of Jyotish. We'll talk about Jyotish and karma. We'll talk about the qualifications of a Jyotishi, or a Vedic astrologer. And then we'll also talk about the divisions of Jyotish. So, where do we begin? The Sanskrit word Jyoti means light, and then it's the knowledge of light that dispels darkness. It is a traditional system of astronomy and astrology. The astronomy part is relevant because in India there are a lot of things that would require understanding the seasons and aligning a lunar calendar, and the lunar calendar was used to, because farmers plant their crops by moon cycles. Moon cycles are very much related to human life more than solar months. And the alignment of the lunar and solar calendars needs to be done by adding an extra month every 2 or 3 years. So astronomy is covered as well as astrology. And it's a Vedanga. It's one of the 6 limbs or appendices of the Vedas. It is at least as old as 3100 before Christian era. We believe, of course, that it is older than that. It's a spiritual science. It's part of the Vedic way of life. And the person who practices Jyotish is a Jyotishi. So Vedic astrology is also called Jyotish Veda, which is literally the science of light. It's the science of luminaries. Just like Ayurveda is the science of light, Jyotish Veda is the science of luminaries. Vedic science is a science of self-knowledge, and everything is connected to Atmavidya, or understanding the self. And this inner knowing leads us to self-realization. So the ancients understood that this was a very important endeavor, and the Vedic astrologers are famous for spiritual knowledge and being able to make very accurate predictions, and also knowing about remedial measures. We'll talk about that, how Jyotish gives you a snapshot of your karma that has propelled you into this life. Okay, so one thing that I always tell my clients in a consultation is that there's nothing in this world that has happened by chance. And Jyotish gives us a picture of what are the forces behind the activities that we ourselves performed in previous lives? What are the forces that have put us in our particular situation? Our entry into this life by being born at a certain time and a certain place tells us a lot about these forces. And similarly, it gives us the ability to predict many things about our life and our activities. So astrology or Jyotish is a limb of the Vedas. It's a Vedanga, and it's sometimes called eyes of the Vedas. It gives us the opportunity to see our true being, and it's based on the doctrine of reincarnation and karma. The planets are viewed as representing different aspects of the karma affecting the soul. Everything in our chart has to do with our karma. So there are three divisions or skandhas in Jyotish. One is hora, mapping the result of karma in an individual's life based on their time of birth and place of birth in a horoscope. There is also something called a panchang. A panchang is a Vedic almanac, and it's a part of hora that follows units of Vedic timekeeping, and it gives us important dates and tithis based on the moon calendar. So it will tell us what are days that might be good for beginning an auspicious activity. To give an example, in Western countries, it's almost universal. People always get married on a Saturday. In Jyotish, we would never recommend getting married on a Saturday. It is one day of the week. So yes, 1/7 of the days in our lives are going to be Saturdays. But Saturday is ruled by Saturn. Saturn is a planet that gives us wisdom, long life, and restraint. But it's not a planet that gives abundance, exuberance, having the fresh start, giving happiness. Saturn is more like a really strict teacher who gives you very important life lessons. They're not the one who comes and gives you a hug and says, would you like a candy? They're more like the one who says, you are going to run laps and I'm going to make you drink water, and this is going to make you a stronger and better person. Then there is Ganita, is the mathematical part, understanding how to calculate how the celestial bodies, the moon and the planets, are moving. And then there is Samhita. Samhita has many different things within it, including interpretation of dreams, interpretation of auspicious and inauspicious signs. Marks on the body also are part of Samhita. Omens, movement of the planets, etc. So Jyotish covers a lot of area. There's a lot of possible ground to cover. What are some of the important Jyotish texts? So one of the main ones is Brihat Parashara Hora Shastra. So the sage Maharshi Parashara was one of the most influential, and this is the most referenced text and has many translations. There's also the Jaimini Sutras. Jaimini was a disciple of Maharshi Parashara. But there are only four chapters remaining of the Jaimini Sutras. There are also further divisions in Jyotish: Surya Siddhanta, Hora, and Samhita. Surya Siddhanta is all about calculation of eclipses and calculating the positions of the planets. It's funny because, you know, I've been kind of a very alternative lifestyle person for at least the last 45 years of my life. So I know a lot of people who are kind of countercultural, and sometimes they get into kind of things that I don't subscribe to, like, you know, the earth is flat, there was one guy who posted something that was suggesting that actually the sun rotates around the earth. And I pointed out, well, you know, according to Surya Siddhanta, which is thousands of years old, the earth orbits the sun. And in, you know, Surya Siddhanta has actually a very consistent description of planetary motion with Newtonian physics that's used to calculate planetary orbits. Well, sometimes you can't convince people of things. As my guru used to say, you cannot wake up someone who's pretending to be asleep. But the point is, Surya Siddhanta actually is astronomy, and it's pretty serious, hardcore astronomy, and it uses some different methods for calculation, but it actually can produce some very reliable results. Hora indicates the natal chart or the Jatak, and it will also be able to tell you your longevity, which is Ayu, among many other things. So the main theme is karma. Karma pala vipaka kala vidhanam. The effect of karma is based on time as our past actions come about and its effects. And Jyotish shows the rules for these times. In other words, when I am born, the time of my birth is telling me, it's giving me a map. And it's laid out by just this little piece of information about my time, date, and place of birth that is telling me all about my karma. Furthermore, by the position of the moon at the time of birth, there is a system called dasha. And dasha means period. And the different planets are giving results in the different periods of our lives. And these are periods that last anywhere from 6 years to 20 years in length. And they have sub-periods. So this is part of a Jyotish consultation, is looking at what are the current dashas that the person is going through. What's the history of Jyotish? So the great Brahma Rishi sage Vasishta, who is said to be the one who conquered anger, after the death of his 100 sons, he tried to commit suicide, but he was prevented from doing it. His oldest son, Shakti's wife, Adrishanti, was pregnant with a child who was chanting Vedas from the womb. There have been different stories of this, of a child within the womb who is able to speak and recite Vedas. These are very people, you know, personalities with supernatural powers. Sage Parashara was a great rishi, and he is the father of Vyasadeva, who of course is known as the compiler of Vedic literatures. And he is said to have lived in about sometime in the first millennium before the Christian era, so about 3,500 to 2,500 years ago. Vedavyasa, of course, was a great rishi who compiled all of the Puranas and Vedanta. Maharshi Parashara wrote the Brihat Parashara Hora Shastra, and the celebration of Guru Purnima is dedicated to Vyasadeva and all of the gurus who represent him. So what is the reason for considering Jyotish? We talk about macrocosm and microcosm. The soul or Atma is traveling through time and space, impelled by the force of its own karma. We take birth and we die over and over again. It is said, according to the Puranas, that there are about 8,400,000 species. And the culmination of our travel through 8.4 million species is to end up in the human form of life. What's special about the human form of life? Well, there is a Sanskrit saying, ahara nidram bhayamaitanam cha samanyametat pashubhir naranam. That in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, there is no difference between animals and people. Animals do this, people do this. But in the human form of life, humans are expected to inquire into the meaning of life. Otherwise, a human who does not do that is no better than an animal. So in the human form of life, we can do activities that will allow us to reach higher planes of existence. And we can ultimately become free from the cycle of repeated birth and death. This is very important. This is called the four purusharthas, dharma. Dharma is to follow your duty, to follow prescribed duties, and to try to understand. It is sometimes, dharma is sometimes translated as religion. It means that which is most intrinsic to us, trying to understand why I am created, what is my purpose in life. This is all part of dharma. Artha is the pursuit of economic development. We have to have some money. Money is something we need, but living for money is not a happy life. Money allows us to live life, but we need some of it. But, you know, we have to have some money, but pursuing money for its own sake is not an end in itself. Kama is pleasure, sensual pleasure, sense gratification, sense enjoyment. And moksha, the ultimate liberation, salvation, getting free from the cycle of birth, death, disease, and old age. Okay, these are the four purusharthas. This is also described in Ayurvedic texts. So everyone is looking to pursue these four things: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So, what is the natal chart, your birth chart, which is can be sometimes called the Janampatri, the Jataka, or the Kundli? It's an exercise in knowing yourself. It gives insight into our tendencies, our patterns, our behaviors, the influences from the father, from the mother, from siblings, and from ancestors. It's kind of a painting of our life in broad brushstrokes. You know, like taking a picture with a wide angle lens. It shows the general aim and trajectory of your destiny, the field of life in which you will exercise your free will. How will you evaluate the choices you have? So, you know, we are born, we come into this life, and based on being born in a particular family, based on being born in a particular place, based on the genetics, the things, the gifts that have been bestowed on us, we have particular talents and abilities, and these will develop according to what our parents give us. But this is all part of our karma. And we actually get a good view of this from Jyotish. So we can also make predictions about where your current trajectory, where your tendencies will lead you. It allows us to analyze strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. This is, you know, my focus always in doing a consultation is to say, look, we're not going to try, this is not determinism. This is to say, let's understand better objectively, according to Jyotish, according to your Kundali, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are the opportunities? What are your strong areas going to be? If it's someone who has, you know, been, who is in their middle years, they've lived life a lot, they will already have a good idea of the things that have worked and not. And then we can look at them from the perspective of Jyotish and see maybe why, what are the things that are driving this? Maybe there are things coming from a previous life. Maybe there are debts that you owe from a previous life that are the cause behind things that seem to always be a drain. We can look at afflictions, we can look at the exaltations, we can look at the debilitations, and we can look at the potentials based on where the planets are situated. And based on what we want out of life, there may be choices. We may want to change our course. We may want to try to do some rectification, or we may look for a remedy. Often remedies are karmic in nature. For example, let's say that someone is indicated that they have some, they have left some indebtedness or some unfinished business from their previous life. Then we might recommend that they do something which will help address that. Let's say that there's an indication that they were obligated. I had one client not long ago that I had the indication that they had an obligation to do something for their ancestors. Usually children are obliged to make offerings on behalf of their departed ancestors. This is a very important part of Vedic life, because if there were any deficiencies in what the ancestors had done, their children will help them to overcome those things so that they can move on and have another human birth. That's just one example. It's also a very personal journey towards self-awareness and trying to see how our journey through life is not driven simply by our work, but it is also by the things that we've done previously. Helps us to be very conscientious. It helps us to be aware of the importance of proper action. So there is a system called Vimshottari Disha. Vimshottari, let me write it in here. Vimshottari means 120. So looking at our life over this, you know, theoretical maximum lifespan of about 120 years, it gives us a perspective and it gives us a backdrop for looking at the factors that can come into play with our health, with our work, with our life, with our relationships. It can also help us to understand what are the things that maybe we need to address, the lessons that we're supposed to learn to be able to move on in this life. So there is inevitably going to be some physical, mental, and emotional suffering. And the indication is also where these things might come from, what areas of our mind and body we might perceive these in, and also sometimes what are the lessons that we need to be able to learn. So what are the qualifications of a Jyotishi according to Sage Pradashana? They have to be deft in calculations. They have to know mathematics and astronomy. They should know Hora. They should know the Sanskrit texts. They should know Sanskrit grammar. They should know Nyaya or logic. They should be very intelligent. They should be capable of deriving good inductions and deductions. They should know Desha, Kala, and the recipient. You know, what's the place that's involved? What is the time and the quality of time? And that person should be Jitendriya. They should be a brahmachari. They should be someone in control of their senses. Jyotish is not something that is to be done by a person who's doing it to make money. It should be done as a service to others. It should be done as a service to the divine. And it should be always with the goal of helping people, never for the purpose of deceiving others or, you know, telling people things that you think they want to hear. A Jyotishi must be someone who is very thoroughly honest and in sattvagun. So these are very important qualifications of the Jyotishi. So that person must know Sanskrit and ancient texts. They must come from a Guru Shishya lineage. There should be a parampara. They should be adept in the calculations. They should be very committed to the study of Jyotish, and it can take decades. It takes years. They must also have a committed spiritual practice or sadhana, and they should practice brahmacharya, celibacy or restraint in their sexual indulgence. They must possess yogas. They must possess the planetary combinations for Jyotish. One example is Nipuna Yoga. And they must also be able to give advice and remedial measures with very good judgment and discernment and in confidentiality. It should be a sober person who does not just go sharing secrets of people, because Jyotish can give you very keen insight into what's happening in someone's life. And in a consultation, sometimes very confidential things come out, and It's, you know, in giving advice, it's always very important. The Jyotishi should be a very trustworthy person and would never divulge such secrets. It is like a sacred trust. So that's it for the presentation on Jyotish. I just want to, if there are any questions, I think the goal was to do this in 40 minutes, and I believe we have done that. So if there are no other questions, I will let Manjulali know that we are done. And this is just the introduction. We are going to go into detail on Jyotish in subsequent presentations and clarify a lot of these concepts. Some of this may seem just a little cryptic or, okay, what do you mean by that? And we will clarify these things in the future. All right. So thank you very much and namaste.